Hey everyone, welcome to the latest episode of the Arkansas Shrimp Tank. I'm your host, Rich Jensen, sitting here with my co-host, David Sims, and we're coming to you from the BRS Consulting Studio here in Little Rock. Hey, I just got to tell you, I've had some fun already with talking with our guests this morning, so you'll want to stay tuned and listen to the whole thing. It's going to be great. I can say that with confidence, even though we haven't even recorded it yet. Hey, whether you're a shark or a shrimp in the business world, there's always lessons to learn from others. The purpose of our show is to be a constant stream of knowledge to our listeners on all topics related to business and entrepreneurship. We interview business owners from various industries in order to uncover the keys to their success, and ultimately we find out whether our guest will swim or sink in the tank. I'm here with my co-host, David. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Nice and cold. Finally got the cold weather here. Mm-hmm.
I'm a little under the weather, not because of the weather or because I'm sick, but I stayed up past midnight watching my two teams play last night. The 49ers were on Monday Night Football and lost. And the Warriors were on, and they lost. So I'm slightly depressed this morning.
So Bay Area boy over here trying to get his fix, you know.
He's still got a smile on his face.
That's right.
Yeah, doing good, doing good. Glad the cold weather's here, and had an early basketball practice for my son's team. And so I've been looking forward to this show as well. I think I probably keep with all my kids. I got eight kids. We've probably kept you in business for a bit. You
know, wow.
Like eating that whole hog.
Eight
so,
kids. Catholic or country?
Just passionate Protestants.
Attaboy.
Yeah. So, I've really been looking forward to this ever since Gordon told us you were coming on the show. And for our listeners, we have Rich Cosgrove here. And I'm going to go ahead and introduce you. At an early age, you became fascinated with the ancient technology of the preservation of meat through smoking, curing, and drying. And that led to the formation of a world championship barbecue team with his three brothers over 30 years ago. With a background in engineering and sales, Cosgrove and his wife, Nancy, opened the Whole Hog Cafe in North Little Rock in July of 2007. Rich still says it's a hobby that got out of hand. And within 7 years, Whole Hog North Little Rock had become the 13th overall restaurant by sales volume in the trade area, the only non-national chain in the top 30, the most successful Whole Hog Cafe in the U.S., and the largest barbecue restaurant in the state, cooking an average of 3.5 tons of meat per week. That's
crazy,
a lot of meat, man.
Wow, do you have it delivered every day, or do you have a warehouse behind the restaurant?
Yeah, you would think. We get a lot of shipments of meat.
I mean, do you have your own pig farm too?
No, we can't afford it.
Does it ever go on shortage, like, you know, drugs in the hospitals? So they go,
actually, yes.
Yeah, it does, yeah, really.
We have to.
Well, Rich, we want to welcome you to the show. Thanks for coming in and spending time with us. We're going to have some fun.
Yeah. Rich, we like to start off with what we call icebreakers and our seeking wisdom question, just to get to know you a little better and things. So in your bio, you say that your interest in meat started at an early age. How young were you?
I was
3 years old, more bacon.
Well, since I'm almost 62, I was 20.
Okay.
And somebody gave me one of those old Brinkman dome type smokers.
Uh-huh.
And I started reading. I read too much. And I just became fascinated with the fact that you can preserve meat without refrigeration.
Mm. Really?
And it just clicked a switch for me at that point.
That's how they did it in the old days, huh?
About 20, in the very old days.
Yeah, very old days.
Back when Rich was 20.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Rich. Yeah, back when my people, my ancestral people were here in the United States before you guys all came over and ruined it for us.
So what tribe are you from?
Cherokee.
Cherokee, 100%?
No.
Oh, okay. But enough to get all the special things from the government?
No roll number.
No roll number.
You're native Arkansan?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Here in Little Rock area?
West Memphis.
West Memphis, okay. Yeah.
You know, I had a pastor when I was growing up, and he was Cherokee. And he, you know, they used to talk about immigration and everything. He says, I just wish all you foreigners would go home.
Boy, thinking of West Memphis, I had the scariest experience ever in the West Memphis court over
Me
there.
Too. It was called high school.
High school. Boy, the judge, he looked like what's that guy on the Rifleman, that show? Remember the Rifleman?
Sure. Chuck Connors.
Chuck Connors. This judge looked like Chuck Connor, man. He was the scariest dude I ever had, man. It was like, I had to go there for traffic court in front of him, man. He was like, whoo, don't want to get on his bad side. Well, Rich, elaborate for our listeners a little bit about the championship barbecue team you formed with your brothers. Is the whole Cosgrove family obsessed with barbecue?
For some reason, they are, and independently of one another.
I understand it. I love barbecue.
We were all
just getting out of college or in college, and we, for some reason, just all migrated to it. And my younger brother, David, we give a big shout out to David in Huntsville, Alabama. David,
Huntsville, oh yeah, that's a great city.
David's a great city. David organized us together, and big brother Rob had a lot to do with it. And then younger brother Jim and I just kind of came along for the ride with, we were just more or less enthusiasts. Those guys, Rob and Jim and David, knew a lot more, still do, I would say, know a lot more about barbecue than I do.
Really? Huh. Are they in the barbecue business too?
No. Gosh, no. They're smarter than that.
Rich, I don't know if our producer Gordon mentioned to you, but I forayed into the restaurant business for a
little
while.
Oh, did you now? Yeah.
And I have a lot of respect for people.
Well, tell me a little bit about that real quick.
It was a restaurant called The Main Cheese, and it was out there in Cantrell.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a health episode. I had a heart attack that made us have to sell it. But
You look like you're a marathon runner.
That's what my cardiologist said as he was inserting the stent.
Wow. I loved your salads, by the way.
Thank you.
Great salads.
Thank you. Yeah, I have to give a lot of credit, actually all the credit for the food, to my wife and our business partners, Cindy Vandenberg. Yeah. They came up with the recipes. I had two of the sandwiches, which were good. But the big thing was I had no idea. It was supposed to be an investment, and I always say it turned out to be a 50-cent an hour job. And so I'm just
you can relate to the choir.
Two riches in the same boat.
Well, that's a tough location.
Yeah.
You had a good concept. That's a tough location.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we've seen a few since we sold.
We had a whole hog go in and out of there as well.
Yeah.
Lasted about 8 months.
Yeah. So you talk about it being a hobby that got out of hand. Mine was an investment that got out of hand. But how did you decide to open a restaurant? I know that what we went through. So I'm always fascinated to see, you know, I made the mistake of watching Shark Tank, and Kevin O'Leary turned to Damon and said, "Hey, I don't have any food in my portfolio." And I turned to my wife and said, "We don't have any food in our portfolio." And that started it. So how did you guys get started?
Well, I've got a friend, John Adney, and I give a shout out to John, who has been hounding me. He was hounding me for 7 or 8 years before I ever did it, to do something like that, because he knew that I was interested in it. Mm. And he showed me the P&Ls and showed me the incredible profit margin they were doing over there. And it looked great to me, but I mean, I had a really good job. I've had about 9 lives, and I've always had pretty good jobs. And at the time, just before I did this, I was in a sales job and doing really, really well. And had started to hatch this thing finally when my only other competitor in the marketplace bought us out. So I found myself in limbo and decided just to put the needle down on the record and let it play.
And I think you mentioned before that Whole Hog wasn't really a franchise then. It was a licensing thing. So how did you hear about it?
It's a good point. It's a fine point, but it's a good point, Rich. We were one of the first licensees and one of the last licensees. As a licensee, for your listeners that don't know the difference, not to be pedantic, but as a franchisee, we're obligated to do whatever the franchisor tells us to. They can dictate your menu, your uniform policy, your hours, whatever they want to dictate. As a licensee, the founder, Ron Blasingame, who was a true visionary, one of those rare people who will do the right thing no matter what it cost him. Ron died about 6 years ago. But Ron said, here's the name, here's the recipes, here's the business model. Take what works for you and change anything else. And so in North Little Rock, we have changed a lot of things. We changed a lot of things initially, including our logo. But many of the things that have changed around us when the operation turned from a license to a franchise situation, we kept a lot of the things that were quality and that worked really well that were changed by the franchisor since then.
Okay. And it started as a franchise here in Little Rock?
It started as a restaurant here
in Little Rock.
And then one day they decided to form a company called Pork Butts Limited. And they started issuing licenses, just a handful. I think there may be only 15 or 16 of these in the United States right now.
Okay.
Well, that kind of is a good transition to what we call our business critical thinking portion of the show. And what I really want to do is kind of focus on things that can really help a business distinguish itself. And I know in talking with you, the big thing that's been distinguishing you is your building of your team and your culture. So, David, I think you had the first question.
So, your motto is maniacal attention to detail.
That's right.
Yeah. So, talk about that. What does that mean, and how does that get played out in your business philosophy and practice?
Well, thanks for asking, David. As a former engineer, engineering is all about details. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked when I got into the restaurant business. Like most people, and this is a caveat to people out there that are thinking about starting a restaurant, and one sitting next to me, and I'm sure many out there in radio land, there's a huge difference between, hey, I really like to cook, and I'm good with people, and I've got a business to run. Mm-hmm. It's all fun until you quit making money. Then you got to go home.
Right. Yeah.
What was the initial question?
Maniacal attention to detail. You know what I mean?
I told these guys before you started I'm ADHD, which usually works to my advantage because I can multitask like a madman. So,
how can he get you to give him $100?
Way to go, Rich. Don't miss an opportunity. I love this guy. All right. I've never been involved in any enterprise or any project where there were so many interconnected and apparently disparate systems that had to yet work together somehow seamlessly. You've just got so many things swirling about that have to work perfectly.
Right.
And particularly when you're selling food, and particularly when you're selling lots and lots of meat, you really have to pay attention to food safety, management of the food and keeping it at the proper temperatures and the amount of meat. We sell roughly 3.5 tons of meat a week. And to manage that, you have to be extremely detail-oriented. We have to spreadsheet everything we do. Mm-hmm. We have a big whiteboard where here's what comes in and here's how long it's been there and here's how long, here's what to put on for the morning, evening cooks and so forth. So you picture any of those of you who have ever seen Mike Singletary's eyes up close when he's playing defense and it's that's what you have to do. You have to pay attention to every single detail. It all matters. Yeah. You'll see me go through the restaurant and pick up little pieces of paper on the floor because it's extremely important that things stay clean.
I had someone compare it to think of like your Ford. And you've got an assembly line, and you got to make sure all the parts are there, and all the people are there, and all the ingredients are there to create a car. And a person comes in and special orders their car, and wants it 15 minutes later.
That's pretty darn good analogy.
And they might not be in the best mood because they're really need a car or they're really hungry.
What? Customers are not in a good mood? My book's going to be called "It's So Not About the Slaw." Mrs. McGillicuddy.
What about your slogan of "Enchantment Served Daily"? What do you mean by that? And how do you get your team to buy in on that?
Yeah, that's my front of house slogan, and I stole that from Guy Kawasaki. Guy Kawasaki, for those of you who don't know, was the original Apple pitch man in the 80s when Apple got started. He was a jeweler, and Jobs hired him to be his marketing guy. And he wrote a book called Enchantment that had a huge impact on me. And I realized that as a business person, we all have to, at some point, of course, the more things change, the more fluid you have to become. But we have to define ourselves. What business are you in? Am I in the food business? No. Am I in the barbecue business? No, I'm not. Am I in the hospitality business? Getting closer. If I want to be successful in the restaurant business, I've got to enchant people. Mm-hmm. I've got to be in the enchantment business. Everybody's got good food and good service, or they're not in business. Mm-hmm. That's table stakes. You've got to bring what I call the pixie dust. You've got to have the atmosphere. You've got to have the charm for the people. You've got to be in the front of the house. You've got to know your customers by name. You've got to make sure that the whole package envelops people in an ambiance and a warmth and an atmosphere that most people can't articulate, but they know when they're in there, they feel good. Mm-hmm. And that's enchantment.
And that does kind of set apart the North Little Rock location from a lot of the others.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
So that kind of ties into my question about the culture. How do you get your people to buy into that? How do you train them? How do you
And
what are the mistakes that you've seen other restaurant owners do in not doing that?
The mistakes that I've seen other restaurant owners do is not understanding one fundamental principle, and that is that people are not managed. People are led. Things are managed. People are led. What we do, the first key to what we do is, those of you who may not remember basketball coach John Wooden.
Oh, yeah.
He said there's two things you can't coach, and that's height and heart. And those things for me are character and attitude. So when someone comes to apply for a job, which doesn't happen that often, we have almost no turnover. My average employee has about 6 to 7 years tenure.
Wow.
We have 4 original employees 12 years ago because of our culture. But, you know, I can tell by the way they walk, by the way they behave, by the way they interview. My wife is particularly good at this. She's got really good radar. We hire what we consider people with good attitudes and good character. If I see someone who has a ton of restaurant experience, it's kind of a red flag. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to retrain. If your mom didn't teach you to be nice and your kindergarten pals weren't good people, you know, it's not my job to turn you into a nice person who cares about people and wants to get along. Mm-hmm. We go by the 5 R's: respect, responsiveness, responsibility, resourcefulness, and resilience. And those are our core values. And we simply demonstrate those values. You will never hear me issue a direct order, ever. You'll never hear any of us issue a direct order. We have no managers. We have no job titles. We have 24 employees, and the best metaphor that I can come up with is a professional basketball team. In basketball, everyone runs the floor, everyone rebounds, everyone shoots, everyone scores. Passing is the most critical thing of all in what we do because everyone is cross-trained. Everyone has each other's back. And because everyone truly likes one another and likes working there, it just works really well. I tell people when they come to work, I have only 2 goals for myself in a professional life, and I hope that you share those goals. Number one is to have fun. Mm-hmm. If you're not having fun, go do something else. Number two, make a contribution outside yourself. If you can have fun and contribute to something that's not you, something bigger, whether it's helping somebody else, contributing to a charitable cause, which is a big part of what we do, then to me, that's success.
Wow, that's really good.
Well, let me ask you kind of a real business critical thing. You opened, you said, in 2007.
That's right.
2008 came the Great Recession. Did you see that coming, and how did it impact you and your team?
That's a great question. It actually had no effect whatsoever. We grew our business by 10% that year. We had just gotten started.
You were starting from zero.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, did you measure 10%?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I guess you're about 100%.
We doubled our sales. Yeah, we went from $1 to $2.
Volume, Rich.
You know what they say, figures don't lie, but liars figure.
We grew in our second full year, in the year 2008, 2009, by 10%. So we never really saw it hurt our sales. But this is something that I'm going to go ahead and address the 800-pound gorilla in the room. What did happen is we opened our doors in 2007, and all my sales projections and everything, you know, I'd crunched numbers for 2 years on this thing before we pulled the trigger. And, you know, I knew what I was doing. We started hitting our top line numbers immediately. I went out and bought a motorcycle. This is going to be great. And in January, when I had to mortgage my house and max out my credit cards to make payroll, I said, okay, hold on. Wait, where's my part? Mm-hmm. And that's when the engineer kicked in, and that's when I had to devise a margin management system and figure out how to control my food and labor costs and try to stop hemorrhaging money. And try to figure out how to turn that ship around. Mm-hmm. It was tough.
So, Rich, we're in the what we call Seeking More Wisdom, and it's called our shrimp cocktail section. So what we're looking for is a nice, juicy, jumbo shrimp of wisdom to share with our listeners. And you just mentioned something there, food and labor costs. Once you've figured out how to control that, would that be a jumbo shrimp lesson that you would, a pearl of wisdom you could share?
In the restaurant business, that is it. That is what you have to control. In the restaurant business, you really can't do a lot about your rent. You can negotiate it. You can't do a lot about what you're paying for insurance. You know, you can't do a lot about your overhead. A lot of your fixed costs are just fixed costs. When you're looking at margins, if you can keep your labor costs, well under 20% and your food costs well under 40%, that's 60% of your pain, right there. So those are the main things that you have control over. And I'd say that's a jumbo.
That's the jumbo shrimp, huh? Yeah.
It's a jumbo in terms of short run and numbers.
Gotcha.
Not in terms of the long run. We make very few decisions based on monthly revenues and monthly bottom lines. We try to make all of our decisions based on 3 months down the line, a year, 10 years down the line. We try not to be really short-sighted, and I could give you some numerical examples of how we reverse manage our business in order to increase customer experience, even though it might hurt our bottom line in the short run. But again, that's the key, is to keep the long picture in mind.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay, Rich, we want to move into the final segment, which I don't know that you've heard, because you mentioned that you're ADD and you have a hard time getting to the end.
Don't forget the H, Rich. Don't forget the H.
ADHD, huh?
I'm doing push-ups while we're doing it. You can't see this.
Gordon's going up and down with the microphone. So, so this plead the fifth is where we ask you questions. Hopefully, our goal is to get you not to answer, but to plead your Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination.
Okay.
Every time we ask you one that you plead the fifth on, we get a point. And if you answer it, you get a point. And if we win, we get a lifetime supply of meals at Whole Hog. And if you win, you get one of these beautiful tumblers that say Shrimp Tank on it.
I want one of those.
Okay, I got the first one.
Here we go.
Rich, you're craving barbecue and you can't eat at Whole Hog. What competitor are you going to?
For barbecue. I'm going to my house. I'm cooking at home.
The producer coming on with a big boo. That's a cop out.
But he did answer it. So.
People do. People barbecue at home.
We should have said, what other restaurant are you going to?
All right. So, Rich, be honest. Are any of the barbecue sauce numbers at Whole Hog actually just straight off the shelf at Walmart?
No, they're not. Not in North Little Rock.
I got to follow up.
We do use commercial sauces and doctor on them like you probably do at home. And then we make some from complete scratch.
This isn't a plead the fifth question, but who came up with all the different sauce flavors? Was it a team effort? Or?
No, the mothership, Ron Blasingame, Mike Davis, and Steve Lucci, the three founders. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure which one of those guys actually came up with the recipes and how that works, but I do want to say to your listeners that Whole Hog North Little Rock is the only Whole Hog in the country that still makes the original sauces in-house every day.
Ooh, really?
The original
every
recipes.
Day.
Yeah.
Huh.
I feel enchanted.
Yeah. Makes me want to go to lunch up there today. I got a lunch appointment.
All right, no more softballs, Rich. You and Nancy sold the business 2 years ago. How much did you get for it?
I'm going to plead the fifth.
Got him.
For you listeners, Rich is just staring daggers at me right now because he knows I came up with the script.
Gordon, our producer Gordon came up with all the questions. You, Rich.
Yeah, all right. Here's another one. Do you think the business is worth more or less today?
Oh, more.
More?
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Well, shoot, we can't win because we only have 5 questions and he's answered 3. So, all right, let's see if he gets this one. What's the name of your favorite employee at Whole Hog?
Nancy Green.
Well, we got blown away again. No matter how much I think people don't want to answer these things, they find a way around them.
Yeah, those shrimp tank tumblers are just tumbling out of the office, man. Everybody's walking away with the prize. So our sponsor, Rich, is BRS Consulting, and they refer to themselves as rehirement, not retirement advisors. And by that, what they mean is that, you know, once you reach the goal of having enough money and savings to fund your living expenses through death, and you've reached whatever goals you've had in your business, there's something else that you're rehired to. And the end game of the planning process is to be a generous steward and leave a lasting legacy. So what legacy goals do you have for your rehirement years?
I appreciate you asking that question. I would like to pass along. I'm working right now with our partners who have roughly 15 total restaurants. They're building a new restaurant in Hillcrest right now. My wife, Nancy Green, is working with our partners as well. And my hope is to be able to influence from a business cultural standpoint that organization and play a key role in helping to develop some of the systems and the cultural pieces that we've been able to do at Whole Hog North on a bigger scale. And that's what I'd like to do. It's important to me that people understand things like people don't work for money. Nobody here works for money. At the end of the day, you work for three things: autonomy, mastery, and purpose. Things like that are important to pass on, because the typical business model is, you know, especially in restaurants, you know, people come and go. You hire them and you pay them X. You know, if you didn't pay them enough, they quit. No, that's not right. You have to create a culture and an atmosphere, and you give them a reason besides a paycheck to come to work.
Interesting. Yeah, it's sort of like that story about, you know, if you gave someone a dull axe and just went out there and said, chop down trees and I'll pay you hourly, after a while they're just going to quit because they don't feel any satisfaction, because right. This dull axe won't do anything.
That's right.
Give them a sharp axe, they have a sense of satisfaction because they're accomplishing the job.
So. That's funny you said that. One of my favorite expressions is, I don't mind chopping wood, but I've got to see the chips fly.
That's good.
I like that one.
That's really good.
Hey, Rich, we want to thank you so much for coming on the program today. For folks who want to either come visit the Whole Hog in North Little Rock, or maybe apply for a job since you have such low turnover, or experience that culture, what's the best way for them to kind of learn more, get in touch, or go visit?
Hit our website. It's www.wholehogcafenlr.com, and you can email me directly at info@wholehogcafenlr.com or rich@wholehogcafenlr.com. Give us a call at the restaurant, 501-753-9227. We do have a rare opening right now.
Really?
And
I would ask you what position, but you said you don't have job
titles.
We
have no job titles. It's
Rover.
Yeah, person.
An enchanting person.
Key employee.
Key employee, that's right. Key enchanter.
That's right. Well, thanks again for being on the show. For our listeners, make sure to catch the entire podcast, if you're just catching the end of it live, by going to arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com. You can also watch our post-show wrap-up video on our YouTube channel, and you'll also be able to hear all of our past guests on there as well. Remember, until next week, stay safe, and to become a shark in the business world, we all start out as shrimp.